Bob's been serving in that ministry for at least 20 to 25 years, reading God's Word, helping people know Him better. And what a great testimony of consistency and love for the Lord that both he and Denise have. It's just, you can't say enough good things about them. And thanks for being a great Christian couple. We're going to brag on you a little bit more after the message and how God has used you in people's lives. And please do this in days to come. As again, we're going to enjoy their fellowship next week in a great way. You know, the sermon title today is taken from a Jonathan Edwards sermon on Psalm 73, God, the best desire of the Christian. So you think about the things you get fired up about or excited about. God, the best desire of the Christian. Charles Spurgeon looked at the same passage. He said, God, He's the sum total of my soul's needs. Now, we have a lot of needs in our soul. But for Spurgeon, he said, they all drive me back to Christ. Even if I go after those needs and make them some kind of idol, you know. If I go after wealth, I maybe find a lot of it, and then that leaves me empty. And then I find, well, Jesus is there a lot better than the wealth I went after. You know, if I say, well, I'm going to go after close relationships. How many of those good things can I have? You know, I throw myself into it, try to be Mr. Relational. And, you know, there's always that human element. And then beyond that, you always, well, there's the Lord again. How in the world did that happen? You might go after success. You know, I want to be at the top of the food chain. I want to make something out of my life. Supposedly, the earlier generations or younger ones say, I want fame more than anything. You know, just make me popular. And after you get that, you think, this is kind of a headache. And you look at Christ and you say, you know what? He's the only one that settles my heart down. So Asaph, who prayed this prayer, said, hey, God is the number one desire of my heart. I want to go after Him. And you think of what Beethoven wrote in a song, Jesus, joy of man's desires. So when you get real excited about anything in life, even if you're excited about non-excitement, which some of us are committed to that, beyond that, quest for, you know, non-adrenaline, you'll find Jesus as your peace in your soul and give you what you need. So Asaph, he starts off praying. He's struggling with life because he's looking around him. He's saying, hey, everybody I know who doesn't believe in God has got it made. And most of the people I know who believe in God, they get a bunch of headaches and heartaches. And I don't understand this. You know, the life is backwards and upside down. I can't figure it out. And pagans are having a great time. Believers are going through tough times. So as he prayed that, we should know that, you know, in 2012, it's not the first time somebody who follows God says, you know, I don't understand why everything's so messed up. Well, we're not the first ones to ask that question. So we can, you know, it'll help us not feel sorry for ourselves if things are rough on us, but we can turn to God. So he starts praying. Psalm 73, it's like starts off the prayer of a bummed out, bitter Christian. Okay? And sometimes we pray like that. And God actually heard his prayer. He was a bummed out, bitter Christian. But because he was talking to God, he didn't stay that way. So when you come to God, you know, you don't have to be Mr. and Mrs., you know, prayer warrior to get a hearing from the Lord. He'll hear your heart where it's at. Asaph, first of all, in his prayers, he's looking at sinners around him. This is what he says. They have no struggles. They have no sickness. They scoff. They increase wealth. I envy the wicked. Now, that's pretty honest. You know, when's the last time in your prayer life you said, I envy those atheists? They're having a great time. I mean, look at all the ones who, you know, they're not into the Lord at all. By their own admission, you can name names. You know, you get the Bill Gates, you got the Mark Cuban, you got the Donald Trump, you got the other guy who does a lot in the stock market. I can't remember his name. But, you know, I'm envious of that. Okay, that's where Asaph was, and he's praying that way. And we have to be careful what we envy and what we talk to the Lord about or focus in on. sometimes, for example, if we just look at the sin of the world, that's our mindset. I've had the experience of going to Giant Eagle or Walmart or something and being pretty thankful as I go. And then I run into a brother or sister in Christ, you know, and they start telling me about every sin in the newspaper there is. You know, page 1 through page 10. And did you hear this that happened? And did you hear that happened? And I can't believe this. Could you believe the world? I mean, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. You know, we were aware of this, by the way, since Genesis 3. But this is their autobiography, you know, when they see it. And I've had the occasion, maybe you have too, you look over the aisle and you see, oh, there's Mr. and Mrs. Bad News. You know, I'm going to hide in the automotive section until they leave the store. But you know what? God accepted the prayer of Asaph, even when he had that mentality. Okay, he really did. He accepted the prayer of Asaph. And so Asaph, he moves from they are this way and they are that way, to I. Okay, he tries the I route. And he's saying, Lord, I'm innocent, I'm pure, but I'm plagued, I'm punished. I try to understand everything, and it just gives me a headache. It's all oppressive to me. Verses 13, 14, 15 in there. And that's a healthy thing to pray. Lord, I don't understand what's going on. It's almost like he's saying, Lord, I don't even know what I'm praying about. A healthy thing to say to other people around you, at least once a week, is to say, you know what? I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay? Because I know you've said it about the other guy. You don't know what you're talking about. But you need to say that as a Christian. You know what? I don't know what I'm talking about. We have this one guy who helps our district. He says, when I do something wrong, just remember it's because my mother dropped me on my head when I was little. Okay? That's his excuse. But that's Asaph. He's saying, I don't understand why the world is the way it is. Until I went to the sanctuary, he said. And I looked at God, you know, and the concerns I had, they seemed to balance off real quick. And I knew anything against God was going to go away. And anything that wasn't praising God can pretty much hit the road. He put it in his own words. Okay. And he said, I find in God the peace and the strength and security that I certainly don't find looking at the wicked or looking at my own life. He prays in verses 23 and 24, you hold me, Lord, you guide me, you take me into your glory. You're the strength of my heart. He says, my heart and my flesh may fail, but God's the strength of my heart. You know, Asaph said this. He said, sometimes I just fall flat on my face. I run out of gas. Physically, I don't have what it takes. Spiritually, I don't have what it takes. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. And that's all the strength Asaph needed. And he said, it's good to be near God. And then he prays one of the greatest prayers, I think, in the Bible. Lord, who do I have in heaven but you? God, the great desire of his heart. Who do I have in heaven but you? Earth has nothing I desire besides you. God, you're something else. When I think of heaven, and there's so many great things to think about, and I think that's a gift that Jesus would give. You know, going all the way to the cross and resurrection, he says, here, I want to be with you. Would you like that now and forever? Oh, boy. Take Christ if you've never done it. You can't honor him enough. But when we think of heaven, we think of angels. That's great. Mansions prepared. That's great. Loved ones, that's great. But Asaph says, I only get excited about heaven because of God. That's why I'm really excited. And it's instructive also to look at some other religions who say, you know, when you think of eternity, what you can think of, you know, one particular religion says, God will say, you're fine, you made it, but now you get a planet, okay? You get a planet to serve me on. If you weren't excited about God, maybe you'll be excited about your planet. Okay, that's a bad thing. Another religion says, well, if you do enough things in a certain way, you know, you get 70 girlfriends at the end. And if you're not excited about God, maybe you could be excited about the 70 girlfriends, you know. Does that motivate you enough now? Asaph was different. He says, heaven has nothing I desire besides God. Edwards, when he looked at that passage, he said, in heaven, you could be given immense wealth, streets of gold, mansions for you, and all the excitement you can imagine. But if Jesus were not there, you would be sad, melancholy, bored, and miserable. Okay, that's eternity without God. And that's our life without God. And it often brings a conviction to our own heart when we say, am I miserable because of a misplaced desire I have? You know, if I go after something more than I go after God, miserableness, it will hit my soul rather quickly. And so to say, God, be the one in heaven that I desire. God knows what makes you tick, and it's Him that makes you tick. And you were created for eternity with Himself. How about right now? You know, is God the one desire in your heart? And we do this with honesty before God. You say, I can't even honestly pray that. Ask God to help you pray it. Maybe start off as Asaph did. Just start off with the things in your life that are, you know, really bugging you to no end. And you'll get to yourself, which you bug yourself to no end. And then you'll go to God. And you'll say, He's the Savior. And so, what on earth makes you tick? On earth, Asaph said, there's nothing here that I desire besides you. Edwards put it this way. He said, the Christian man prefers God more than any experience in this world. Boy, isn't that something? That you're so focused on Christ. I prefer Him more than any experience in this world. He goes on to say, whatever changes a Christian goes through, he has the gift of joy because God, who is unchangeable, is his gift. So the world didn't give us Jesus, and the world can't take Him away. And there He offers us Himself here on earth, even. Once a little brother and sister, around Christmas time, misbehaved a bit with their family. They went to the mall and wanted to sit on Santa's lap. Okay, they pretend Santa at the mall there. So they climbed up on Santa's lap, and Santa asked them, what would you like for Christmas? Favorite time, favorite event. And so the brother and sister said, we just want you, Santa. We just want you. And everybody, you know, that's amazing. Never heard of such a thing in my whole life. How could they just want Santa when he offers them so much else? Well, Santa happened to be their dad all dressed up, you know, just trying to have another experience with them. And each, you might say, well, that's an incredible story. But every day in the soul of every Christian, you know what we do? We climb up on Jesus' lap and he says to us, and what's the desire of your heart today? What's really, you know, what really makes you tick inside? And any Christian who would look at Christ, we could say, it's you, Jesus. We just desire you. As a matter of fact, Lord, there's nothing on earth we desire besides you. How the Lord can draw us to his heart like that. And he can give us a heart like that. Don't beat yourself up if you say, boy, I don't think I could ever pray that. We're all like the prodigal son at times. We say, I'm not really interested in you, Father, but whatever you could give me, that's ultimately why I'm here. God says, you don't have to miss him. And God offers to meet our needs, that we would say, Lord, be the one desire that I have. And as God helps us with that great choice and love for him, we're like Asaph. We say, oh, it's so good to be near to God. And that focuses you. You know, Larry Crabb, a Christian counselor, said this. He said, focus on Christ, or you fly apart. In other words, if Christ is not your desire, you're going to have 20 smaller ambitions. It'll just rip your soul up. But you desire Christ, and He adds a walk with Him. So let's pray and rejoice in the Lord. Jesus, thank You for making Asaph for Yourself, and he experienced You wonderfully. And thank You for making us for Yourself. And with You, Lord, we're more than blessed, we're more than content, we're more than joyful. And so might we desire You to find fulfillment in You, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen. We want